This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, well, it isn't a slow news day today. There's a huge amount to talk about. Justice is not with us today, but he will be back next week for the Burning Platform. In the meantime, we thought you can't go without the Burning Platform for a week. And we got Polly from Vake, who's on the line from the Daily Maverick. We've spoken to Polly a couple of times about her own stories that she's been investigating. And this morning we thought, there's so much to talk about, she might be exactly the person to talk to about these things. So first and foremost, the public protector. Have we heard from the public protector? Busisiwe Mkhwebane. Has anybody seen her? Have you seen her?
Tell me, have you seen her?
No one's seen her anywhere. Yeah. She's just disappeared. Polly, good morning, and welcome to the Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's every single week here on CliffCentral.com. Polly, are you there?
Good morning, Gareth.
So, have you found the public protector? Do you know where she is?
No, she's missing. Like Faith Mutsambi and Sean Abrams.
Sean is also...
All of them.
No one knows where Sean is, right?
No.
Yeah. So where is she hiding in court?
This is theory. No, she can't be hiding in court. She's not a practicing advocate even. No, she's also not to be found in court. No, we don't know where she is. She hasn't gone out in public to explain or to tell us what's happened. She's definitely hiding after a very, very hard beating by the court this week. Let me tell you quickly what happened. So it relates to that very first very big investigation that Busisiwe Mkhwebane, at the time the new public protector, put out in public. And it was about that apartheid-era bailout of APSA. So at the time, she made really disturbing findings. She said APSA should pay just over 1 billion rand back to the fiscus relating to that apartheid-era bailout. But more than that, she also broadened the investigation without notifying anyone and came up with this very interesting remedial action. She said that the Reserve Bank's mandate must be changed. Now, there's several things wrong with that. And Judge Murphy gave a very damning and stunning judgment this week, where he said that she risks to be called hypocritical and incompetent, and that she didn't understand the law, that she confused the mandate of the Reserve Bank and the government, and that she was dismissive and procedurally unfair. I've read that judgment, guys, and I thought, wow, I can't remember when last I've read a stunning and really, really damning judgment like this against anyone.
She apparently, she was telling the Reserve Bank to change their mandate or that it should be changed, in the meantime, her own mandate was being exceeded. She did apologize. I remember shortly thereafter, she tried to backpedal, but it was already too late and the rand didn't recover sufficiently. And the Reserve Bank obviously went into a panic. Actually, no, to be fair, Lesetse Kganyago did not go into a panic. He said, listen, this is nonsense. Don't worry about it. We've got this under control. Now, of course, she's got egg on her face, but do you think it makes any difference? Has her credibility ever been at a point where it could have been brought down more?
No, not really. So there were allegations at the time when she was appointed as a public protector that she, comes from a spying background, that she's a member of the state security agency, which obviously in the current political climate is very problematic. And again, in this report that she released, we saw that there were definitive bonds and links with the spies again, where she decided it a good idea to consult with the state security agency officials on this bailout of APSA, which is highly questionable.
Well, she's also showing an ignorance of the law, which, as you say in that judgment, is a horrible thing for a judge to say about anyone who's practiced as an advocate before. Usually that means for an advocate who has that kind of judgment against them, the end of their career. But in her case, she's in an odd job, a different sort of job, a job where her predecessor set such high standards. She's only going to fail by comparison.
Yeah, she does have big shoes to fill.
All right, what about I thought we could move on because I really don't think Busisiwe Mgwebane is worth spending too much more time on. What about Grace Mugabe? We've had this horrible incident where there's a girl who was assaulted. She says it was Grace Mugabe who attacked her with an electric extension cord. I heard that last night Robert Mugabe landed at Watercliff Air Force Base. Mandy Wiener reported this. And apparently he's come to South Africa almost to rescue her so that she could be considered to be part of his delegation and therefore have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, it's an interesting case. So they're trying to backdate almost as a diplomatic immunity. Because if you look at this in a purely academic way, diplomatic immunity can trump a criminal charge. So in these circumstances, the idea is that the diplomat should be charged at home. But the problem is, Grace, and the real issue is that Grace was here not on a diplomatic mission, and she was not a member of Robert Mugabe's entourage. So she wasn't under the protection of a diplomatic mission. So I consulted yesterday with two lawyers and an advocate who confirmed, and they said that there's no way that she can invoke a diplomatic immunity, and that she's definitely just trying to backtrack, and that it definitely creates also a very strange and diplomatic situation for the South African government. Because on the one hand, they must uphold the law, but on the other hand, we have really, really close diplomatic ties with Zimbabwe.
It's a bit of Keystone Cops here, because just like Busisiwe Mgwebane's credibility has been called into question, the Minister of Police said one thing. He said that she has handed herself in the other day, which was nonsense. The Department of International Relations and Cooperation, Clayson Monyela, said the other day that she did not fall under any kind of diplomatic immunity, thereby closing that gate effectively, which means there'll have to be some serious backpedaling if they do decide that they can cover this up. And between the two of them, neither of them was telling the truth.
Yeah. I think definitely we should also focus on Fikile Mbalula, the Minister of Police's role in this. Started to create or style himself almost as a police station, and he should be very careful of doing that. This is the kind of backlash that he can, you know, he can expect when he starts doing that and he overrules his own political role. He's not a policeman.
And because he's a man-child, he also then goes and tweets out today that he's that he's holding a meeting about gender-based violence, which makes him look not only like a horrendous hypocrite, but also like someone who's completely ignorant of the context in which he operates.
Yeah, he's kind of a boistering and blustering sort of individual, and we're going to have big trouble soon.
Polly, can you explain to me this KPMG situation? And they are one of the companies that's had a very tough ride. I saw PwC were also being hauled over the coals with a massive fine yesterday. In relation to the Gupta situation, that's where KPMG really started to have blots on their copybook. But what is the story with their current fine by the U.S. government?
Yeah, how interesting is that? So KPMG in the United States audited Miller Energy Resources. They were fined just over $6.2 million by the U.S. Securities and Exchanges Commission. So the problem is that they signed off on an audit of the oil and gas company that has overhauled certain assets of theirs by more than 100 times, which is a massive thing to miss. But my baseline was that KPMG did not admit or deny the findings. They just agreed to be censured and pay the fine.
That sounds like guilt 100%. Why would you hand over that kind of money if you weren't guilty, right?
No, definitely. And it also sounds as if there's way more to be found. You know, so it's more like, okay, let's pay, but don't look closer.
So we can't trust KPMG. What kind of an audit business are you if people can't trust you? I mean, surely they should shut down their doors and just get out of business.
Yeah, that's an interesting prospect, because it's not only now the South African branch that we know of helping the Gupta's launder money earmarked for black farmers to Dubai to pay for a very tacky wedding. Mm-hmm. It's now also the U.S. branch having to pay huge fines. So definitely, I think their practices and their audit trails and how they conduct their business must definitely be overhauled.
Well, if I were looking for an auditing business to take care of my business, I certainly wouldn't look KPMG's way. I'm sure that's how most people are feeling.
Definitely. So Max Averica, which is the CEO of Signia and one of the richest women in South Africa, also decided to say to KPMG, we're not going to renew your contract with us exactly for this reason.
Polly, can we go to some pure politics for a second? The ANC are turning on their own people. We've got Makosi Kwaza, Derek Hanekom, Pravin Gordhan, all voting against the president. But there are others who are unidentified to him at this point. God alone knows how he's going to identify them. But the president has been saying, we must find these people, and they are disloyal. They must be disciplined. It's a witch hunt, right? We could have predicted this.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we knew that anyone that goes against Zuma, he will try and discipline and ferret out. That's why the Constitutional Court said there must be a secret ballot. So this week, Gwede Mantashe, the ANC Secretary General, said that there won't be a witch hunt, but that those members that officially said that they voted against President Zuma, like Pravin Gordhan, Derek Hanekom, and Makosi Kwaza, will be disciplined. The success, however, of such a disciplinary process is highly questionable because it will definitely go directly against the Concord or the constitutional judgment that saying that MPs have a first loyalty towards South Africa and not towards their party. So that they have to vote with their loyalty to the country and the people in mind.
Well, we know they didn't. We know they didn't because we know what their instructions from the whips were on the day before.
No, definitely. So if you want to discipline these people that you see as rogues or as the rebels, you'll have problems, I think, in successfully doing that.
I would say that the whole country should discipline the entire ANC for doing things that are not in the interest of the country. There might be a case for that if anyone's got the time and the energy to pursue it. Okay, one last thing. Faith Mutambi, you mentioned her already in the introduction that she's also AWOL at the moment. No one can find her. She's currently our Minister of Public Enterprises. Am I right?
Public Services and Administration.
Okay, sorry. I mean, it's so hard to keep track when you just move cadres from one department to another, regardless of whether they qualified for any. Faith Mutambi seems to me to be a special case of real incompetence, not only because it was under her watch that the SABC completely melted down and started becoming the biggest disaster in our public service and enterprise portfolio. But also, since then, we've discovered she's been hiring friends and family in her department. She's been flying them down to speeches that she was giving in Parliament in Cape Town. She seems to me to be almost like a mini, you know, Middle East dictator or some kind of tin pot banana republic ruler of her own department, where she's doing things that are clearly nepotistic, and she has no regard for her responsibilities as a minister.
Yeah, no, definitely. So all of that, and she's definitely a very staunch supporter of President Jacob Zuma. So that is why she acts with total impunity. She knows she's got his backing. So what happened in the spin-off of this very interesting ANC situation where they want to discipline members loyal to the country is that she boycotted a portfolio committee chaired by Makosi Kwaza, who was the ANC MP who very vocally said in public that she's going to vote against President Jacob Zuma. But it's obviously also very convenient because Faith Mutambi had to go and report on those allegations that you mentioned, that she flew 50 family members and friends to Parliament for her budget speech in May, or at the taxpayers' expense, that is. So, yeah, it's all very convenient if you can act with impunity like that.
Where is she?
Well, we can ask Sean Abrams. Maybe he knows. Or
Cecilia
Kovari. Maybe at the same place, even.
Come to think of it, where are any of our ministers at the moment?
Some of them are in Parliament. So they are supposed to go and report on certain things and all portfolio committees and, you know, doing ministerial things.
So you mean there are people
in the country and so on.
There are people doing things.
Well, hopefully.
God, I'm holding thumbs. All right, Polly, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Sure. Thank you, Gareth. Thanks for having me.
Make sure you read what Polly writes in the Daily Maverick. You'll find all kinds of interesting. Who are you investigating at the moment? Who are you after?
We're looking at Eskom quite a lot at the moment. So, yeah, so hopefully we'll have very interesting news soon for you guys.
Yeah, apparently we're still dealing with a lot of the hangover of Ben Gubane and Molefe and the rest of them. Do we have any inclination that things are being cleaned up there, or is it more of the same?
Yeah, it seems like it. So if we remember, and I'll take you quickly back to that investigation that Donnie Gladla, the head of Eskom at the moment, has initiated. It seems as if he's really trying to clean up. He came from outside, and at the time when they announced their financial statements, he said that he's going to investigate. And this week, a series of suspensions followed. So we hope that there's some sort of renewal. But we're definitely also going to investigate some of the impunity and the corruption of the past. And Amos Singh, which is the CFO, has also been suspended after the Development Bank let their voice be known and or heard. And we'll definitely bring you more news on that front soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Polly. Nice to talk to you.
Cool. Thank you. Bye.
Polly van Wyk, Daily Maverick, and The Burning Platform for this morning, which is brought to you by Nando's.
This is CliffCentral.com.